This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn.
It is time to talk health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Rod, and welcome back.
And thank you very much. Can I say something that happened while I was away, Gordon? That if I was at a restaurant, and you tend to eat out, of course, nearly every night when you're away, finding somewhere local, and I would look at the menu and I'd look at the ingredients and I'd say to the person taking the order, the waiter, the waitress, could I have mine without garlic, please? And they'd say, oh, yes, we can do that. Because I'm going to tell you, I do not like garlic. And you're about to tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, sort of. I'm a bit with you because I don't like the after effects.
Exactly. The smell is terrible. Dreadful.
The smell, and so I think with the thing about garlic is it's one of these sort of mixed blessings. I mean, many people think it's very good for tasting of food, and I'm in agreement with that. But it's the breath issues afterwards. I mean, a self-conscious person like myself is always thinking, "Oh, gee, I better have another stick of chewing gum or something," because it's just a bit too overpowering. But the thing is, there are many health claims about garlic and why it should be added to foods and medicinal properties and so on. And I think it's just important to investigate, well, should we balance the ledger and say, well, or tip it in favour of the benefits outweighing the untowards. So we'll see. In terms of the garlic effects, garlic, it's the fresh bulb is called Allium sativum, and that we know it as garlic, and it has therapeutic properties, but I think the other here is, unfortunately, Rod, the stinkier the better, because the unbroken garlic cloves, they're essentially odourless, but as soon as they're cut or they're crushed, there are enzymes within the cloves that just are activated, and they convert and release these compounds, sulfur-rich compounds, which give garlic its very distinctive aroma and taste. And well, we know that potentially it's got medicinal benefits. If we go back hundreds of years, claims have been made about garlic's potential health benefits. And it turns out that the smelly sulfur compounds are the ones that are the most biologically active, and that could potentially be exerting the most benefit for health. Odor-free garlic preparations, they still have the enzyme that helps produce the sulfur compounds, but the enzyme is deactivated, and I think the message that we get from the smellier association is that, generally speaking, the fresh, the dried, or the pasted garlic contains more of the active sulfur compounds, so they're more likely to have a greater biological effect. Without the aroma, there's not much action going on.
All righty. So what are the biological effects, the health properties, the good things about garlic, and can you get it just from chewing garlic or including it in your food?
Yeah, look, I've mentioned several times about this, the health claims of garlic, and they go back centuries in terms of what's been purported about a beneficial effect of garlic. I think the scientific evidence for these health claims is less convincing, and I'll sort of explain that as we go through. Much has been reported about garlic and cardiovascular disease, for example. Some studies have reported that garlic can help lower cholesterol, it can stop blood cells from sticking together, so having anti-clotting effects, that it has benefits for lowering blood pressure and so on. And essentially this stems from the whole hydrogen sulfide that's released having effects on the vascular system, helping to open up blood vessels, avoid blockages, and so on. But to be honest, the clinical studies have been far less convincing, and they're very difficult to perform and matching the right sort of garlic compounds and so on. But there's been sort of no real benefit for cholesterol lowering that's been shown in clinical trials. The Allium sativum has been proposed for anti-inflammatory benefits as well. Again, this comes back for the hydrogen sulfide effects. And positive effects on the immune system as well. That's been thought of. And many of these studies that have been claimed have been demonstrated in cell preparation. So scientists can take out cells and do studies on isolated preparations, and they've shown benefits of sulfur compounds released from garlic having these sorts of effects. Some studies have shown benefits in animal models for human diseases, and that could be cardiovascular diseases and so on. Again, all coming back to these sulfur compounds that are released from the garlic cloves, and far fewer clinical trials have been able to back up that evidence. Some have shown some benefits, but very few have actually supported all the claims that have been made about garlic. So I think we need to be very careful when we're talking about health claims of garlic. Some studies may show certain things, but when it comes down to the clinical trials over, you know, very, very big trials in many different people across different ages, the evidence is less convincing.
Okay. The thing is, you can get the advantages that garlic may or may not have, that some people purport garlic to have, from taking something else or from eating other foods. You don't have to have garlic. You can actually get those benefits, if those benefits do exist, from garlic, from eating other healthy foods.
And yeah, so other foods will have anti-inflammatory properties. Other foods may have cholesterol-lowering effects and so on. I think garlic, you know, just to balance the ledger a bit here, Rod, you know, garlic as a whole food, if we talk about, you know, it's still going to have benefits for different people. I think, you know, the effects that people have suggested on having cancer-fighting benefits and so on, all of these things about boosting antioxidants and so on, I think the studies are, I think, it's just not convincing. They're relatively few. Okay. They're not always well conducted. So I think we've just got to make sure that we say yes, that there may be some benefits, and that's why it's been pushed for centuries. But when it comes down to the clinical trials, less convincing evidence.
Okay, Gordon Lynch, our guest, talking garlic this morning. Now, one of the things we often hear is, well, they can cure all sorts of diseases, but they still can't cure the common cold. And that's another thing that people say, well, garlic has a beneficial effect on someone if you've got a cold. It's not going to cure it, but it might actually help you get over it faster or something. I don't know. What do you make of that?
Yeah, this has been going on for quite some time. Garlic has so-called antimicrobial, antiviral properties that could, you know, relieve the common cold. The average adult has 2 to 4 colds a year. Younger children can have up to 8 colds a year. And so if it did have these benefits, it would certainly help a lot and reduce the misery and the sickness. But in terms of the evidence, unfortunately, it's still rather thin. And I've been following this sort of story for maybe 15 years now. Every 5 years or so, the Cochrane database reviews trials that have been conducted into whether garlic has preventative effects for cold or can help treat the common cold compared with placebo, you know, no treatment or with other treatments. And over successive years, every 5 years, so I started doing this back, it was about 2009, another study came out in 2014, so I think it's due this year for another refresher. Very few trials have been conducted to really rigorously test whether garlic can affect the common cold. In terms of the number of days of illness was, in one study showed it was lower than a placebo group, but that was one particular trial, and because only one trial met the criteria for the inclusion, you can only get limited conclusions from that trial. That was back in the 2009, and then in 2014 they reported again, and their conclusion was again there was still insufficient clinical trial evidence regarding the effects of garlic to prevent or treat the common cold. So they're suggesting that more trials be done, but the claims that are made seem to rely on poor quality evidence. So I just would like our listeners to take that evidence into account when you're assessing whether you should be taking a particular garlic supplement or something for a common cold. For some people, and this is the way it works, so some people respond to a certain way, others won't have that favourable effect. And that's where the clinical trial evidence is so important.
Now, there's also other claims made about the beneficial effects of garlic, about maybe as you're getting older, you're taking it or you're including it in your food or whatever you're doing, and it's going to help your memory. Now, are those claims the same as the other claims, and that is that there really needs to be a lot more work done on it to prove that that might be the case? Because if it's like all the other claims, there might not be much to it.
Look, this is the latest findings. This was what sort of drew my attention to come back and revisit garlic. And the latest findings were presented in a preliminary form at the American Physiological Society's annual meeting, which was held a couple of weeks ago in Orlando, Florida. And it was a study in mice, and it showed that consuming garlic compounds, helped counteract age-related changes in gut bacteria associated with memory problems. And so the basis of the study was that the diversity of the gut bacteria is reduced in older adults, and that's when many neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, they start to emerge and the cognitive abilities start to decline. And so the researchers gave allyl sulfide, which is a compound in garlic, to old mice, and they showed that this improved their memory, it improved their healthy gut bacteria, and it also showed that this particular compound produced hydrogen sulfide that prevented inflammation in the gut of the mice. A potential link here between garlic and garlic compounds with the gut bacteria and cognitive ability later in life. But I'd hold that thought, Rod. I think it's very interesting, but I want to see more evidence to support such a claim. And I think that means supporting data in older adults, a clinical trial form, like all the other things that we've discussed this morning about the health claims of garlic. Very, very interesting. Some studies showing it in limited form. I'd like to see more evidence to make sure we're on the right track so we don't go off and buy all these different products that may have limited evidence to support their claims.
Okay. In a way, they're just like so many other so-called complementary medicines or vitamin pills and things like that, where all sorts of claims have been made, not a lot of actual medical evidence to support those claims, and garlic is just like that.
In a way, but I mean, in terms of adding garlic to foods for taste and so on, and I think that's fine. I think we think about how we get our vitamins and minerals from our diet in terms of fresh foods, especially biasing our diet towards more vegetables and fruits and so on, and getting all those different antioxidative properties, anti-inflammatory properties and so on, all that are claimed from one particular thing. If we vary the diet and have a rich source of different vegetables and fruits as our base, then I think we've got those particular things covered. And so I think the need to focus on one in isolation becomes less important when we've got everything else covered through that variety of sources. So I think that's the best way to get our vitamins and minerals is from our diet.
Okay. Gordon, thank you very, very much for that. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.